During Pastor C. Wright's last sermon, he talked about the attributes of people who are blessed. On today, he shares characteristics of people who are wicked, based on principles and descriptions found in Psalms, the first chapter, verses 4 through 6. His sermon title is Part 2 of Blessed to be Known, part of his continuing series on Psalms Worship, Not for the Frozen Chosen. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry C. Wright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Praise the Lord, saints. All right. Let us begin in prayer. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you once again. And Father, we just thank you for who you are. First and foremost, Lord, we just see you as a God that is lifted up. And Lord, that you've provided a way to lift us up as well through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we delight in you. We truly delight in your word and your teaching. And we love doing your word, Father, as well. Father, right now we ask that your saints hear from on high, that they hear from you, that they hear your words, that they hear your direction, that they hear your instruction. Father, that they may enrich their relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have tablets, Bibles, you don't want to use those, then it'll be available on the screen. But we're going Psalms 1. Psalms 1. First Psalms. And because that psalm is short, I'm just going to ask us to take the time to read it. So we're going to read it out loud, and we'll read it from the NASB. So are you ready? All right. Thank you for the enthusiastic response. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. All right. Let's try that one more time. Are we ready? Yes. All right, let's begin at verse 1 down to verse 6. Go. So today we're going to finish this psalm. We're going to finish this psalm, and what you'll notice from verse 4 on down is that the subject changes. It changes from the righteous to the wicked. So this is like a serious somber, if you will, message with serious implications. Amen. Because now we're talking about the plight of the wicked. You know, we've asked questions along the way. The first question I asked you all a couple of weeks ago is, does your BC differ from your AC? Does your before Christ differ from your after Christ or after conversion? Do you see a difference in your life? Then we went on and we asked you last week, knowing God, where is that on your bucket list? Where is it on your bucket list? Is it 2, 3, 7, 10, 1? Thank you, brother. Right, 1. Where is he on your bucket list? Knowing him, where is it? Where is he on that bucket list? We talked just by review here. We spoke of the subject in verse 1, where we were talking about the righteous man and how blessed he was. We said that word blessed is in the plural, and it says, oh, how the blessedness of this man. Amen. We also talked about how you can tell a lot about a person by what he does not do or what she does not do, right? We talked about that briefly. But then we moved on to saying how we can more develop and explain a person even deeper by what they do. We talked about the three F's, the familiar, the festering, and the fruition. We said the righteous man does not, according to verse 1, spend time becoming familiar with wrong stuff by walking and listening to wrong folks. And then all of a sudden that begins to fester because the walk turns into a stand and he begins to just think like them. And then all of a sudden we say the walk that turned into a stand turns into a seat. And he sits down because he's actually become one of them. Amen. Moved on to verse 2, and we talked about how his delight is in the law of God. He loves God's teaching and he loves God's instruction, and he loves God's direction, and that word he loves it, and he wants to feed on it, just like how I gave you the illustration of my grandbaby and how I was feeding her, and just moments went by where she just had to say, do you, the word, do you just feed on it? Have you fed on it this week to where you just want to absorb it and it gets in you and it becomes a part of you? This week we have another question for you though. This week is, will he know you? Will he know you? When that day comes, will he know you? You know of him, and you have the opportunity to know him more as you hear his word and you come into the church and you associate with saved folks that live for him and want to glorify him. And we get that on this side. But there's going to come a time where he's going to see who he knows. And the question is will he know you? Will he know you? When the story's told and the life is over, will he know you? You know, there's an illustration that I read this week where it's stated that it was this man, and this woman. They got married, and once when they married, they were not in church. Somewhere along the way, the wife was converted, and she became a Christian. But the brother, he just continued to do what he do, and he wanted to live his life, and he went on out there. Well, one day, he was at the bar with his boys and everything, and they were just drinking, and they were just putting them down, and then he got, you know, everybody was kind of like, you know, walking different, right? Got to that point where they were just drinking, and he said to his boys, he said, you know what, if I go home right now, I know she in bed right now, but you know what, she will get up out of bed, no question at all, and she will cook us a meal. That Christian woman of mine, she'll cook us a meal. And of course, his boy said, yeah, right, babe, she won't cook us nothing. And he said, well, come on. He said, well, come on and see. So they got there. When they got there, he shouted up, and she was in bed resting and everything else. And then he said, come down and cook us a meal. She got up, no questions asked, got herself together, cooked them a meal, served that meal to the astonishment of his fellas and everything else, and they were looking. And they were like, what? I mean, she was asleep, laying down, and everything else. How? What? And one of them just had to say, why would you even do something like that? Put that on pause. I know, it's good. Man. Yeah. Verse 4 says, the wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. And I'm going to try to not be before you all long. But there was a process in the olden days of, they called winnowing. Winnowing, they would get a pitchfork and it would be a pile of wheat or barley. And they would toss that wheat up in the air when it was a good portion of wind going on, and if you know wheat or barley, it has a husk on it. The husk is actually a lighter weight than the wheat itself. So when they would toss that thing up in the air, toss that pile up in the air, all of a sudden the wind would catch the husk, and the husk would be blown away, but the wheat would fall, and that's how they would separate it. That's the chaff, if you will, which the wind drives away. They said that the wicked, they are like that chaff. Remember last week we said that the righteous man is like a tree that is planted by waters. Its roots are deep, and no matter if the storms of life come or whatever, it has root and it will stand, it will stay, right? But rather than having an established life implanted and grounded, rather than having deep, nourishing roots, the chaff are not so. And in fact, the writer, if you read and study the grammar, you should read it like this. Not so. Not so for the wicked. Not so for the wicked. He wanted to drive the point home that we were talking about a righteous person here. But now all of a sudden things have drastically changed, and it is not so for the wicked. He wants you to know that there is a difference. And when that day comes, different folks will have different results. Not so for the wicked. The wicked, instead of living lives that are just rooted and grounded, they rather live lives being tossed and turned and floundering and shaking, and their ground is always just unstable. Their lives are unstable. You know, even if they have good intentions, the truth is that the result is going to be devastating. Devastating if you don't know God. Devastating. And it's just like life now. It's so trendy down here, and it's so shifting down here. When you're in and you're the main stuff today, then all of a sudden you're so yesterday in a split second, right? All of a sudden you're moving from where Nicki Minaj is the girl, and now it's Cardi B. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Where Cardi B and she's in, right? What happened to Nicki? Yeah. What happened to Nicki? Right? What happened to her? She was so hot. Right? She was so hot. And now all of a sudden, she's not. Right? And you see these folks, and they try to struggle to maintain and continue their relevance. And truthfully, it's like a slippery pig. They can't hold on to it. All of a sudden, you know, you got rappers calling themselves Hova. And now their records are struggling to even hit the Billboard. Because it is just so moving. Shifting, right? It's so shifting. The wicked, they have this dilemma. And this dilemma is that everything that they put their energy and time in has an expiration date. It's just like milk. It goes sour. It goes sour. No matter if you refrigerate it or whatever, it's going to curdle. Go sour. Because it is temporary. It's temporary. They try in vain to fill a place that only can be filled by God. That's what they do. They try to fill it with fun. They try to fill it with the excitement. And guess what you need? Once that fun is over, guess what you need? You need more fun. It's just like, it just keeps doing this. You know, like, where are we going to go? Oh, we're going to go there? Oh, girl, that was fun. Boom. Oh, what are we going to do? We're going to do, oh, yeah, that was, boom. And it just keeps, boom, shifting, boom, boom. Just nothing stable. And you got to have a better fix to make it feel like you got some purpose and like you got some reason to even live. For the wicked, not so. Not so. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. On such ground, you can't stand. Your footing is just unsure And like I said, it's just like a boom. You know, it reminds me of a scripture in Isaiah where Isaiah said, when the earth shakes, where will you stand? Think about it. If you ever been like experienced an earthquake, nothing feels stable. You can't hold on to anything because it's moving just as much as you. It's no fixed point. And when that day comes, when God comes and he shakes up everything, who and what will you stand on? Not so for the wicked. There's a day of judgment that is coming. A day of reckoning that's coming. Where God will pick up that fork. And he will have a separation take place. And if it's such a drastic difference between the two, guess what else is going to be drastic? Their end. Their end will be just as drastic. Rather than being transplanted in an advantageous surrounding, the wicked rather stay seated in his own ways. They rather have their own way. They rather have their own way. The deep thing is this. It says in Hebrews 10th chapter, verses 26 through 27, it says, "For if we go on sinning deliberately, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries." Sin reproduces itself in the wheel. And it gets into the wheel and it infests the wheel. And then that wheel becomes character. And character tends to become irrevocably fixed. All of a sudden, it becomes irrevocably fixed. You talk of a song, you sing of a song, "I shall not be moved." That's what ends up happening. You become so used to having it your way. And you so bent on having it your way till it goes on and on and on. And then all of a sudden, at one time, it's fixed. It's fixed. It has that much of a hold of you. And it's fixed. But here's the part, though, that's most concerning. God responds to the endless sinning with the necessary counterpart of an endless punishment. An endless punishment. There's a saying that says, "Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. And watch your character, it becomes your destiny." And that's what we're talking about. It's like a slow grind Satan has, where he just gives you a little by little until all of a sudden it's fixed. You know, I with some of my clients, I use this illustration. We're sitting at a table, and I'll have something like a pen or something like that. And what I do is I would talk to them, and while I'm talking to them, I'm just casually talking to them, and they're on this end and I'm on this end, and I'm talking to them, but all of a sudden, just little by little, I'm just moving that pencil just or pen just closer and closer to them. And I'm just talking to them, and they don't know it. And they don't know it. They don't know it, and all of a sudden, boom, the pen is there. Here's the point. I make it known that the pen is here first. But by the time the conversation gets to a point, the pen is here, and it's near them. And they are shocked that it happened, because they wonder, how did that happen? When did that happen? What did you do? That's exactly what Satan is doing. He's slowly sifting folks, bit by bit, saying, you cool, you tight, you all right, you don't need to change, you don't need to change. And then all of a sudden, one day, it's fixed. It's fixed. It's fixed. Not so for the wicked. Not so. Revelations 22 and 11. That's a sobering scripture. Because Revelations 22 and 11 says this: let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. That's the last book of the Bible. And what it tells you, it's a time when God comes and he's going to say, that's enough. Let the evildoer do evil. Let the filthy be filthy. Let the righteous do right. And let the holy still be holy. Will he know you? Will he know you? And we can talk about hell. Hell is a place that is dark. The Bible describes it as having just unquenchable fire. It's a place where you're not buddying up with nobody. You're not down there partying with no one. It's dark, and they say it's bottomless. It just feels as if you are falling continuously. No partners, no neighbors. The only thing that you have is your consciousness. And your consciousness ends up becoming a hell within itself, because all you're doing is thinking about all the times that you should have. That you should have. That you should have. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, it really points to why hell is hell. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 9 says, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. And that's what makes hell, hell. God will not be there. You're separated from God. You're separated from everybody else. And all you have to deal with is yourself. Is yourself. It's like this. And I read this week. Here's a quote. If the question be raised, how can a loving God send men to an everlasting hell? It must be replied that God does not choose this destiny for men. They freely choose it for themselves. God simply concurs in their self-chosen way and reveals the full consequences of their evil choices. Do you hear what that's saying? Do you hear what that's saying? That what it's saying is that time and time again, he has tried to get your attention. You know, my uncle used to, he had a saying where he would tell me time and time again, don't do that. Hey, man, look, don't do that, man. Then it got to the point where he's like, hey, man, you like it, I love it. Go ahead. You like it, I love it. And in other words, he was just saying, you know, you're hard-headed. And you won't take advice and you won't listen or anything else. Well, you know what? I'm just going to let you go ahead on and do it yourself. Go ahead on and see. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. And that's God. Time and time again, he's like, I love you. I sent my son to die for you. You don't have to live the way you're living. Your life don't have to be so shaky and unpredictable and crazy. Come to me. Come to me. Because my burden is light. You know, take a load off you. Because you're trying to do it yourself. Come to me. And time again, you say, no. 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 And while you're saying no and you're running away, he's doing this. Please come. Please come on. Please come. Please come. Let me send somebody else. Okay, come on, come on. Elder C. Wright, go over there. Talk to him. Talk to him. Preach on this, Elder C. Wright. Preach on this, C. Wright. Okay, they didn't listen to you. Okay, come on, Mike. Mike, come on over there and talk. Okay, I'm going to send you Mike. I'm going to send you Mike. No. No. Then all of a sudden, one day, God says, okay. 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 I will leave you to yourself. You made the choice. You made the choice. And I just simply said, okay. For the wicked, not so. From verse 1 to 3, not so. They don't delight in God. God is not the desire of their heart. Loving his way is not even on their radar. They want to do their own thing. A few years ago, it was that saying, don't worry about me. You do you. And I do me. You do you. And I do me. Well, I'm here today to tell you, when it comes to this here, choosing Christ as your Savior, I can't afford to just sit back and let you do you. I got to bother you and tell you that this has eternal implications. So the wife went down and she cooked that meal. Without question, she cooked that meal. And she cooked it, no complaints, nothing. She cooked it up and everything else. And like I said, he and his partners, you know, they were sitting around and everything. And one of his partners, like, how? You know, while the husband was up there, like, told ya. Told ya. Told ya. Eat. I told ya, right? And the partner said, asked her, why? How could you do this? And she said, when we married, we were both not saved. I came to the Lord, and he chooses to do his own thing. If he continues in this path, and I know his end, what else can I do but to try to make him as comfortable as possible on this side? On this side. You see what she was saying? And when we talk about hell and the doctrine of hell, why do we talk about it and why is it relevant? Because it should be a motivation to the church to go out and say, we don't want this to be your end. The doctrine of hell in the Bible is a motivation towards evangelism. We need to think about the fact that if they are locked in their ways on this side of life, what they need more than anything else is a message of love and hope. Will he know you? There will come a time, it's stated, and here's the deep thing too, is that you come to church and that's good. That's good. Matter of fact, that's where you need to be. But here's the thing though. In Matthew's, it gives us an ideal, if you will, because Jesus came and he said, woe to Bethsaida and woe to Chorazin, right? He said, the things that I worked in you, the miracles that were worked in you, if they were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented, right? So in the end, it's going to be worse for you. So the ideal of that scripture tells us that hell also has a degree of punishment. The more you know, the more you're going to have to answer to. You got more revelation and you didn't do right with it, God have mercy. God have mercy. The question today is, will he know you? Because also in Matthew, it stated that some are going to come to him and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that? And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. For the saved, for the saints, isn't it good to be known. That is a praise break to know that not only you know him, but he knows you. Oh, we can rejoice in the fact that we are known by God. And how are we known by God? Because in 1 Corinthians, verse 2, I mean, chapter 2, verse 10 and 13. Let me just read this real quick. It says, the spirit of the world, right? Let me read it all. I was going to just read a portion of it. It says, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. See, that's our connection. We're known because we have the Spirit. We have that common thing with God where we have his Spirit, and the Holy Spirit allows us to know God more and more. Not so for the wicked. Not so for the wicked. They don't have that connection. They don't have that link. And when that day come, if you don't have his Spirit, you will hear the words, they will hear the words, depart from me. And they will be assigned to a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is real. And this is serious. And the psalm ends by saying that they will perish. That's not the righteous man end, but that is the end of the wicked. So, what is this all about? As we conclude, what is it all about? Well, here's the bottom line. Know him. Get to know him. Give your life to him. Allow him to come in and clean up that mess that you have been trying to organize all your life. Give it over to him. Let him be Lord. Submit to him and allow him to be your Savior. I know no better way. There's no better way that I know of than to live for him, to allow him to come in, clean up that mess, and give you life everlasting. Don't let this day go by without making that decision. Because for the wicked, not so. Not so. Can we stand? What a sobering moment this is. This tells you how serious it is. When I was studying this, I tell you, it shakes you to your boots. It just shakes you to your foundation. This is something you don't want for anyone. It makes you want to go out there and tell everybody, look, turn from your wicked ways. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Don't let this temporary stuff fool you. It doesn't last. You should know that by now. You should know that by now. It doesn't last. Make a decision today to live for Him. You can be known on that day as one of His. And if you make that decision, He will say, come on in. Come on in. I got a mansion for you. I've been waiting on you. Come on in to joy everlasting. And what makes heaven heaven is because He is there. He is there. He is our reward. Make that decision. Is there one? Don't let this moment pass you by. There's another opportunity. One more opportunity. And just think, if you don't take advantage of this one, and then all of a sudden life is over for you, here's another moment that you will be turning time and time again for eternity in your head. Don't let it pass you by.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.